There was a time, a long time ago, when a hand appeared and wrote those words on the wall. And those of you that saw handwriting on this bulletin board probably weren't very scared at all. But when we want to look this morning at the situation here, Belshazzar's experience here when God wrote on the wall, and some of the things that we need to consider as we go through life. We don't, I guess we know that there are three times when the hand of God wrote physically. One was when he gave the law in Exodus 31 verse 18, God's finger wrote on the tables of stone, gave the Ten Commandments. Another time that the hand of God wrote was in judgment for breaking a law, in a sense, here in Daniel. He wrote on the wall. And another time was John chapter 3, when Jesus wrote on the ground, forgiving a situation of breaking of the law, in a sense. Now, as we look at this message that God wrote on the wall, what was the meaning of this? We know that the first word, meaning, was repeated twice, meant that his days were numbered. Belshazzar's days here were numbered. And I think we should probably go to the scripture here, Daniel chapter 5, and read the context here, and at least part of it here. Verse 1. See, there was a feast that Belshazzar had. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And it says, in the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. So you see the great fear that came upon this king. His knees were knocking together. And the message, because of the, well, he didn't know what the message was at this point, but he just was very scared of the fact that this unknown hand was writing on this wall. And then we know the story that his wise men, his astronomers, or his magicians couldn't interpret this writing here. And then Daniel was called. And then in verse 25, he's brought here, and he shows to the king here what the meaning of this was. And like we see, mini, the word mini was a judgment that his days were numbered. His kingdom would only be there for a short time. And then Tikal says he was weighed and found wanting. And when we think of a scales like this, scales that they used back then as a balance, and so a known weight was put on one side, and then whatever was weighed was put on the other side, or whatever was to be weighed was put in one, and then they added known weights to till it balanced. And this king here was found to be light. He was found to not measure up. And then the last word, Peres, we interpreted, kind of means that his kingdom would be broken up. It would be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. So King Belshazzar had been weighed in the balance and found wanting, found insufficient. His days, the days of his kingdom had been numbered, and on that very night, that which he treasured would be taken away from him, and he was killed that very evening. What was he guilty of? Why was he found lacking when he was weighed in the balance? We'll read verses 17 through 31 and see what Daniel has to say here. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts, we see here that the king had promised to give him gifts, and Daniel doesn't need those gifts. He said, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. And they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over whomsoever he will. That he appointeth it over whomsoever will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius, the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So here we have the context here of what took place. And I think we see why this judgment was given on him. He had discounted all that he knew about God. He had dishonored the true God and dishonored the things that were taken from the temple. And likely he was worshiping all the other gods that were around. And we want to take a little different, we could go different ways with this and look at the vessels that he dishonored. It would be interesting as well sometime to draw the lessons from that. But we want to look at the scales here that he's talking about here. Scales that he was weighed on and found wanting. And some of us deal with scales on a daily basis. We are paid by the amount of weight that we haul, and some of us, it almost seems wrong if our loads are light at all. And then also we know that when you cross government scales, the officers of the Ministry of Transport have the opinion that we should not haul too much weight either. So we daily deal with scales, and my wife tells me that some of the modern or new recipes, instead of dealing with measurements, are more, or pretty much the whole recipe is by weight as well. So scales are a common thing that we deal with in our physical world, in our material world. Today we want to look at some of the scales that our lives are to be weighed on, or that we, our lives are weighed on. And probably about five or six that we'll look at. One of them is public opinion. We are daily weighed, in a sense, by public opinion. This can be right and wrong. We know that young people especially are constantly weighing their lives by public opinion and put way too much emphasis on that at times. And public opinion can be positive in our lives, and it can also be negative. You know, when, especially in recent times, there has been a lot of weight put on how we are fitting in with norms of society. It's called virtue signaling. And we see the negative effects of that. But, you know, public opinion can also be positive. You know, if, for instance, just to use a very crude illustration, if people are avoiding you on a hot summer day and wrinkling their noses, maybe it would be time for a, we usually use that as a cue, maybe it's time for a shower or some deodorant at least. And so on, there's different aspects of our daily lives that we judge our appearance or our actions according to public opinion. And then another step beyond that, our response to each other as the brotherhood, that's valuable. We need the opinion of honest men and women in our lives. Those that we respect help us to make our daily decisions as well. And that is valuable, since this may be the first hint of what the judgment of God will be. You know, if our brothers and sisters speak to us about a concern or something, that is something that we need to take seriously. If we can't pass the test of human opinion, we have probably a fairly good reason to be afraid, because we have been put in the balance and found wanting. The word wanting is to, another way of saying that is to, that we have been found not to measure up. So public opinion is one of the scales that we daily can measure our lives on, calibrate ourselves to. And like I said, we have to be careful, because obviously, there's limits to that, and it can also be wrong. Another scale that we weigh ourselves on, or are weighed on, maybe don't weigh ourselves on, but we need to measure ourselves against, is the law of God. And looking at this time particularly at the law of God as it was written in this time here, we know that they had the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, and we also are measured or are weighed according to the written law of God, like that, to a certain extent. We know that God's finger wrote on the tables of stone the first time, and then the second time. I was looking this morning, studying, and I should have spent more time. I think maybe God gave the word, and Moses the second time etched them himself, and that's beside the point, I guess. But anyway, these tables of stone were lasting command of God. They were, for thousands of years, were the law that people were judged on, that were weighed against. And we also are weighed, are measured against that, in a sense. But as we do that, we often feel or find that we don't measure up. Maybe there are things that we find that we are light as well. But we can say, or we can be weighed against the law and be satisfied, because we know that we are equal to the God because of Jesus in our lives. And it's only as Jesus is in our lives that we can be brought into balance in relation to the law of the Ten Commandments. And we know that not all the commandments are applied in the New Testament in the same way either. Another law, or another scales that we are weighed on is the scale of our conscience. And again, our conscience can be a very good scale to show us how we are measuring up. Of course, our conscience can also be out of calibration. And at times, our conscience needs to be recalibrated. It needs to be, again, measured against the Word of God, against the Holy Spirit, and then to be brought into check. Constantly need to do that, you know, on any scale that we deal with in the material world. At times needs to be recalibrated, needs to be zeroed again. And our conscience also can become out of balance, can become seared. We know that to the point that it is no longer a reliable guide. But we need to, I think, if our conscience is alive and well and active, we need to measure our lives against, allow our conscience to work in our lives, to ask ourselves, have we laid out all our sins before Him? And have we asked God to forgive all of these? I think our conscience will do that for us, will show us, will speak to us if there is something that we need to ask for forgiveness for, something that we need to clear up. I hope you can say with me that I hate sin, but also remember that we don't need to carry the burden of sin, because we have trusted the Savior, because we have asked Him to give us this salvation, that we have become justified, that we have been born again, and that we have the life of Jesus in our bodies. And as we can clearly give that testimony that we have done everything that is required, then our conscience can be free. We can have a clear conscience. We don't need to second guess ourselves constantly, but we can have a pure conscience and be satisfied that our scales are in balance. So call up your conscience, put yourself in the scale, and trust that the verdict will not be against you, that you will not hear the words of God saying, Thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. Another scale that we weigh ourselves in, closely related to the second last one, this is the scale of God's word, and not just going beyond the Old Testament commandments, the Ten Commandments that are recorded, but let's weigh ourselves on the scale of the gospel. Let's continually study the word of Christ, the words of God in the New Testament. So much instruction is given to us, and weigh ourselves against that. Ask yourself if you are conformed to him, like the true disciple that he describes. Weigh yourself according to the words of Christ and see if you have the meekness and humility and the loving spirit that he constantly displayed. Judge yourself according to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. Read those scriptures and weigh yourself against that easy to be understood words that are given there, and a lot harder to live out. But measure yourself against that and see how we are doing compared to that. Read through the epistles and see if we can say, like the Apostle Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" As he says in Romans 7, verse 24. Or as he says in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Measure ourselves against that. Do we see ourselves as the chiefest of sinners? You know, Paul, I think, saw himself and realized that if it was just his life, he did not measure up. But it's only as he allowed Christ to work in his life that he could be brought into balance. Also, Apostle Paul said, or considered himself to be the least of all saints. Do we have that humility? Do we have that? Do we feel ourselves to be the same? That if it's just us, we are also the least of all saints. It is only as the life of Christ, as we allow Christ to work in our lives, in our hearts constantly, that we can even start to lift the scale back into balance. You know that he said in Philippians 1, verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Is that how we feel as well? That everything that we are doing on our own strength, in my own words, is loss, but only as we die to Christ daily and are allowed to be used of him, that only that is gain. Another scale I want to look at that we weigh ourselves, or that we are weighed on, is the scale of circumstances. Some of us, all of us, I guess, have been tried on the scale of adversity, and some of us haven't fared too well. You know, maybe business failures or losses, financial losses, or scales that have shown us that we didn't measure up, that we were maybe a little light, we were found wanting. Maybe the scale of sickness, adversity and sickness, and we have found that maybe at times that we didn't measure up, that we didn't have the faith that was required. The scales of personal relationship problems, you know, interpersonal problems at times show us what we are made of, and can at times show us that we have a little more gaining to do as well. We know what God is doing in these times. He is testing us. He is trying us, seeing what our faith is like. He wants us to see our faith, see if we will stand the test. Also remember that not all of these are scale, are things that God gives to us, but Satan at times also puts the scales before us, like he did in the life of Job. I think the scale that he placed Job on, or the weight that he put there against Job, was a test from Satan. Job was weighed against afflictions and troubles, which were sent by the devil. And we know that by himself, he could not have borne all of them. But he came out on the scales victorious over all the weight that Satan could throw onto the scales. In a sense, in my own words, Job, or Satan said to God that Job was on unfair scales because God was not allowing anything to come into his life, really, that was against him. But if Satan would be able to try him a little bit, that Job would fail. And God allowed him to do that. But, you know, all the judgment, all the trials that Satan threw on the scales was not enough for the life of Job to become destroyed, but he was able to still measure up. Is it the same for us? Do we have the power of God on our side of the scale that we can counteract the weight that Satan would like to throw on our scales? Can you also say, like he did, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? Can we also say, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away? And then the last part, blessed be the name of the Lord. Sometimes in our lives, we probably struggle for a long time. I know it has been that way in my life, that it's easy to recognize the facts of life. The Lord gave and the Lord took away. But then sometimes, to our shame, it takes a long time to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. So as we are on the scale of circumstances, let's measure ourselves, look at ourselves and see how we're doing. Are we found wanting? Jeremiah 12 verse 5 is a familiar verse. It says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? Maybe we see ourselves, or see ourselves in that circumstance, and we look back and wonder, well, a year ago, when we had regular worship services, we were able to encourage each other through songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And then we look at, even today, the blessings that we have. And we see that we have a lot of growing to do, and maybe we aren't where God would like us to be. If all that we have and we, the blessings that we have, and we struggle, how are we going to do when times become even harder? I think that's an important scale to weigh ourselves on, to measure ourselves by. If we are struggling and allowing things to draw us away from God with all the blessings that we have, how will we do when times become really hard and tough? Another scale is the scale of prosperity. Many people have endured hardships of poverty who could not endure prosperity. Maybe we've seen that people that have been faithful in other lands, people that have been faithful when they had very little, we probably saw that in some of the groups that came from Russia, where they, or Siberia, some of had really hard time surviving, and yet they kept their faith. But then somehow they had opportunity to come to North America, and basically as soon as they started prospering, it seemed like their faith diminished, and they were no longer true to God like they had been before. There have been many who have lived humbly and respected God, but once they gained wealth, they forgot God. When there have been many people who, when they were earning their living by the sweat of their brow, they served God, but when prosperity came their way, they lost their faith. It's not easy to stand the trial of prosperity. And maybe it's a scale that we need to be looking at. How are we doing on the scale of prosperity? If things are going well for us, are we still trusting God? Do we still have the faith like we need? And then the last one we want to look at is divine judgment, the final scale that we will all stand on someday. You know, death is a certainty for every man and woman. And after death, there is the judgment. The archangel will sound the trumpet, and the dead will rise to stand on their feet to confront God, who will be the judge. Let's now, as we still have opportunity, contemplate the time when we will be standing on those scales, when we will be weighed once and for all. You know, those scales will be exact. They are calibrated perfectly. God is just. And there will be no cheating. There will be no no grounds to say that these scales may be out. Those scales will be final and just. God's scales are perfect, and no one will be able to deceive him. You know, now at times scales are not accurate, and they can be called in question. But in our lives, when we stand at the final judgment, that will be, there will be no more reprieve. And whether we want to be weighed on those scales or not is beside the point. We all must go. Will I be able to boldly walk on those scales? And I guess I have a problem with the word boldly, but confidently, maybe. I don't think any person will be able to boldly go to the final judgment. But I think if we have been faithful in our lives, we can trust that God will be satisfied with our lives, rather than knowing that we will be dragged there kicking and screaming. Which will it be for us? Will we be able to stand before God confidently, bow before him, and trust that he will be satisfied with us? What are our lives like as we contemplate that final scales of justice that we will need to stand on? So test yourself today, daily. Test yourself before God tries you. Judge your own heart before he judges you. And don't just say, just because you're a church member, just because you're a Christian, that all will be right. But see yourself as God sees you. You know, as we go through life, we always have these things that we can calibrate, we can weigh ourselves against. The Word of God, a healthy conscience, faithful brotherhood, even society at times, like we noticed. And see yourself as God sees you, because we can. See yourself as God sees you, because after all, that's who we really are. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, we pause before you. We are thankful that you are a just God, that you never change, that you're also a merciful God. We realize that as we go through life, we have many checks and balances in our life that can help us to see ourselves honestly for who we are. We have many helps that bring us back into check, back into balance, if we allow it. Just pray that you would help us to honestly look at ourselves each day of our lives, to measure ourselves. And when we see ourselves found wanting, just give us the help that we need. Help us to come to you and allow you into our lives to fill that need, to fill that void. Pray for anyone that is afraid of your judgment, of your balances, they would, in the time that's still available, to come to you to be able to make that right, to have that opportunity to not be afraid of the final judgment. But we also pray that you would help us to also, in a sense, be a judgment to those around us, that they would see us, see our lives, and realize that there is something that you have given to us that is available for each one, that do not need to be afraid of the future, but just help us to have a message for the dying world around us. Just pray that you be with us the rest of this day as we go from here, that we would have confidence that you want to lead us and inspire us throughout whatever we may face in the future. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.